You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda Hall site on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall, psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. Look, here in Australia, I hope you're having an absolutely exciting, sensational week. Here on the Gold Coast, it's sort of cold, wet and miserable, but we'll bring some sunshine to the show tonight anyway. So no matter where you are in the world, it's great to be alive. It's great to be with you again this week. It's always a highlight of my week to be able to bring this show to you worldwide because it's something that I really do with great passion. It's something that really makes my heart sing. I mean, for all the things that I do in my week, this is the highlight of my week. So I'm so pleased that you could join us. So the Simply Tarot card of the week this week is a really nice card. It's called the Ace of Pentacles. Now, the Ace of Pentacles is money coming, and wouldn't that be a nice thing? I mean, many of us could do with a little bit of a top up at our bank accounts at the moment. Seems to have been a very expensive time of the year, and it's not even Christmas. Oh, secondly, it can be your divine wish being granted. Now, I like to look at it as probably, as much as I'd like a little bit of extra money, and who wouldn't, I tend to look at this card more about being peaceful and sort of saying, okay, finally I've worked really hard and maybe, just maybe, one of my divine wishes is going to be granted, something that I've longed for or I've worked hard for, and it's finally coming to fruition now. Now, just to give you a little bit of history of the Simply Tarot cards, these were all purpose shot photographs. None of them were photoshopped. None of them were sort of sourced from a catalogue of photographs. This scenery behind us here was actually shot on the Sunshine Coast, which is about 3 hours away from where I am. So, and that was a real person's hand that was holding the pentacle. So these are a beautiful set of cards. If you haven't explored them yet, Simply Tarot, been out in the marketplace now for well over 25 years. And one of my pet projects that I'm really pleased to say is still selling worldwide. This original set went to the bestsellers list in the first couple of weeks of being released. So it's a great card to work with. But the divine wish is the fact that you are bringing something to fruition that you wanted to work with, or something that you've been working hard for, something that's going to make your heart sing. It's not just a fleeting thing. It's something I'm going to sit back and admire and say, wow, I got my divine wish. I got something that I've worked so hard for, and it's finally here. So, you know, for other people, it may be, you know, an increase in money or money coming in or opportunities for a new job or increase in salary. Money can come in many different forms. We could clean out the garage and have a sale and sort of make some money. So just, you know, be a little bit creative if you want more money coming in. Sometimes we have to work for it too. Okay, so this week astrologically, it's quite a big week. I mean, it's a big week every week, but sometimes I get a nice surprise when I open up the charts before the show and I start to do my research that, wow, some of the planets have moved since I looked 7 days ago. Because being an astrologer, it doesn't mean I necessarily have my head in the clouds all the time or constantly looking at charts to see where the planets are going. Unless it's particularly part of my day that day, I don't necessarily consult a chart. So it's happy birthday to all the Geminis. It's, you know, we're well and truly into the Gemini time of the year. The Gemini time of the year to me sort of always spells the time that no matter what your star sign is, we can stop, look and listen. We can sort of look at where, how far we've come. We're halfway through the year. What have we achieved? What do we still need to achieve? What was on our list at the beginning of the year of our New Year's resolutions or the things that we were hoping to achieve this year? Has the list changed? Has the list grown, evolved, changed? Have we crossed things off that we've completed? Have we crossed things off that are no longer important to us? It's sort of like a little bit of a readjustment period. For Geminis, it's their time of the year to shine, and I have loads of Gemini friends, and they're fun to be with because Geminis tend to know everything that's going on in the local district, you know, whether or not there's a fete or a school reunion or, you know, something on at the local picture show or the roller derby or whatever it might be. They seem to know everything, and they're like little butterflies. They flip from one situation to another. And a lot of people mistake that for not having any grounding or not having a purpose in life. This is how they're wired. They are meant to flit from one situation to another to gather knowledge so that they can sort of speak firsthand about what is going on in their local environment, or to be able to speak under any circumstances. You know, somebody wants to know something, they have an answer. Mightn't be the complete answer, but they've got the headline package of it. And I really enjoy working with Geminis because they are so versatile and they don't tend to get bogged down in too much emotion. Yes, they look at it, they try and understand it, they work with it, and then they give it the flick. They say, right, well, that's had enough for your time, let's move on to the next thing. And I find that a refreshing change from some of the other friends I've got that sort of get very bogged down in their situations that can't see past the end of their nose because they're so absorbed in it, they can't think outside the square. They can't look for another solution. They can't sort of see this is the only way something can be handled. Where with Gemini, the versatility is there and it's amazing and it's wonderful. So happy birthday again to all the Geminis. We've still got Uranus working its way through Gemini, and it's still in the very, very early stages. Uranus will be here for 7+ years, so we're talking about something that's just begun. And the reason why I'm bringing this up again, I've had so many questions in my inbox, how is Uranus really going to affect me? First and foremost, it's going to affect the air signs, which is Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. The opposite sign of Sagittarius. Now, they're the four that it's going to affect the most. It doesn't mean that it won't wash over to the remaining 8 signs. Now, Uranus's role is like a bolt of lightning. It strikes the ground. It's very decisive. It's very condensed, I suppose, if you want to put it that way. It doesn't necessarily look at all areas of your life. It looks at a particular area, maybe two, and it's sudden. It's deliberate. It's definite. It's not always good. It can be that we need a shake-up in our lives. You know, we tend to sort of think we're only looking for good things, but sometimes we've got to have a shake-up in our lives that says, come on, get your act together. You know, you've been whinging and moaning about nothing changing in your life. Well, here you go. I'm giving you the opportunity. It may not be the way you wanted it, but it's what's got to be happening to get you out of this rut. It's got to get you moving in the right direction, put you in the right place for opportunities to come towards you. So not everything about Uranus is seemingly positive at the beginning, but it's the shake-up, it's the wake-up call that you needed to get you on the right path. I actually like Uranus. I like working with Uranus. It's always been one of my favourite planets ever since I've been into astrology because, to me, it gets you out of the comfort zone. It shakes things up. It moves things along. It gives you opportunities that maybe you wouldn't have thought of doing had you not been in a rut and Uranus came along and said, okay, I'm going to get you out of here. Might, you know, hold on to your hat. We're off and running, and that's what I like about it. So it is definitely affecting all the signs, but it's those first four that I spoke about that are getting the most of a shake-up. And can I say a little bit there, with most of the Saggies that I've been talking to, and not all of them, but a fair few of them are going through massive changes, as in sort of work, employment, finances, looking at what the next sections of their lives are. And then there's other parts of the Sagittarians that I've been working with that are very stable, that are very comfortable with where they are. And it's just sort of like making choices or decisions about where they currently are. And for some of them, it's scaling back a little bit. You know, they're getting more towards retirement and they're just sort of sitting back and resting on their laurels a little bit after being working hard and saying, it's okay, I don't need to prove myself anymore. I'm happy to make choices that suit me and fit in with my lifestyle. So whichever stage you're at, in particular if you're a Sag, just work with the energy. But that goes for every sign. Work with the energy, listen to your heart, listen to your thoughts, and then make some conscious decisions of what's right for you. We have Mercury, the planet of communication, is sitting in Cancer at the moment. Now, Mercury's one of those planets that moves fairly fast around the zodiac. And so we have plenty of opportunity to sort of talk about which sign it might be in. The moment it's in Cancer, now don't underestimate because it's in Cancer, it's going to be soft and easy. Cancers can be very, very strong too. So Mercury sitting here can bring about some really in-depth conversations, no matter what your star sign is, but bringing things up from a very deep place, from the heart, from the home, sort of saying these are the things that need to be sort of talked about. They may not all be the best conversations or the easiest conversations. When I say not the best conversations, they may not be the easiest conversation to bring up and have, but we also know that they have to be had. That it's sort of like, you know, we're coming from a safe, secure spot. We're in a comfortable spot where we can all sit around the kitchen table and have this conversation in a comforting environment. Then we've all got an opportunity to speak our minds and say what's actually on our mind and sort of clear the air a little bit. So I think it's a very, very positive time. So communication here is really governing these first four planets, which is Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. But the opposite sign of Capricorn, it's washing over the remaining eight signs, but it's those four signs that are really having some very detailed, in-depth sort of conversations, maybe needing to sort of have conversations with loved ones about tricky situations or family members or friends or even neighbours, you know, like it's sort of like a very communicative time where they really need to be very caring and gentle, but at the same time show a bit of strength too. Sometimes we've got to be a little bit strong-armed in situations because people need that too. That's sort of quite comforting. You know, it's not always about being soft and gentle. Sometimes we have to be a little bit firmer as well. We're going to still stay in the Cancer energy. We've got Jupiter, the planet of expansion and opportunity, is conjunct or holding hands Venus. Now, what this means is Jupiter is showing us the way to expand our lives, to get out there, to experience different things, to maybe explore different places, with giving us the opportunity then to maybe find love out of our normal circle. I think a lot of us say, oh, look, I want love, I want love, I want love, but we don't do anything different. We go and do the same things week in, week out and expecting to have a different result. Where Jupiter here is saying, let's expand the horizons, let's do something different, let's shake things up a little bit. You know, you've got the world in the palm of your hand almost at this point. So if you're seeking love, let's step out of, you know, your comfort zone. Let's try something different, you know, go skydiving, skinny dipping, you know, take up 10 bin bowling, do something different, something that's out of your wheelhouse. So again, I'm suggesting this really is predominantly affecting the water signs, which is Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces, and the opposite sign of Capricorn, but it is washing over the remaining eight signs. So no matter what your star sign is, if you're seeking love, let's step out of your comfort zone a little bit, because it's really, really important that we do that, because that's the way that we're going to attract love, and we're going to attract somebody that's interesting and different and exciting and somebody we wouldn't have met had we not stepped out of that comfort zone a little bit. And this could end up being the love of your life. Who knows? You know, like when, you know, Venus is in Cancer, I always sort of feel that even though Venus doesn't rule Cancer, it feels very comfortable there. It's a very homey sort of like, oh, I can exhale, I'm home now. I can relax. I can get into comfortable clothing. I can just be myself and in the safety of my own castle. And that's sort of how Venus likes to feel. And, you know, even though it doesn't rule Cancer, it feels very, very comfortable there. So we have an unusual sort of thing, and I'm saying unusual because it doesn't often happen in astrology where we get three planets together or more, but three is considered a stellium. Now, what I'm about to describe isn't actually three planets. It's two planets plus an Arabian part, but we'll look at that as, you know, as a temporary planet, shall we say, so that we can bring it into the stellium. And the reason why I'm doing this is I feel that it's sort of very, very important that we understand what is going on in our lives at the moment, because there's been a lot of planetary shift and a lot of people are feeling sort of energy and don't understand where this is coming from. Well, partly this could be coming from this stellium that we're in right now. Now, bearing in mind, one of the planets in the middle is the moon. Now, the moon moves within, you know, 2.5 days. So this energy is going to pass very quickly. So if you're feeling it at the moment, just know if you're not feeling comfortable with it, it'll be gone in, you know, another 36, 38 hours. It's a very short-lived situation. So I'm talking about Neptune, the planet of illusion and delusion, is conjunct or holding hands the moon. And the moon is conjunct or holding hands the part of fortune. Now, this is all in Aries. Now, so we're going to be really affecting the fire signs, which is Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, and the opposite sign of Libra. Now, Neptune gets a bad rap quite often. Neptune is the planet of illusion or delusion, but it's also the planet of creativity. I like to tend to sort of think of Neptune as sort of like, okay, if we've been in a bit of a fog, if we've been wandering around aimlessly, not really sure of where we're going, but we've been feeling our way through, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Neptune will take us to the end of the tunnel, to the light. It doesn't always have to be the delusion side. Where the delusion comes in is sometimes as I don't think we're ready to address the situation or look at what's going on in our lives, so we delude ourselves or put it in the closet or pretend it's not happening, or try and find a different solution, something that is more palatable. But on the positive side of Neptune, Neptune is very creative. It brings in this wonderful sort of energy that sort of says, okay, we can do anything. Let's put our creative thinking cap on. How can we deal with this situation maybe in a better way? Maybe there's some answers that I haven't looked at yet. Go back over the documents, go back over the situation from beginning to end, and then you might just get that aha light bulb moment that comes on that says that's the bit that I've been missing, or that's something I need to explore more. So be aware of that with Neptune. It's conjunct the moon. Now, as I said, the moon moves very quickly. The moon governs our emotions. It doesn't matter who we are. We all have some form of emotion that we need to process daily or hourly or by the minute. And for some of us, that's really tricky and it's rather difficult and we don't want to do it. But for all of us, we need to factor in here that it is Neptune conjunct the moon. So even though we've talked about maybe finding that way through the fog into the light, we've got to do this and we've got to honour our emotions as well. So the emotions may be a little bit all over the place. You know, one minute I'm positive, the next minute I'm not so positive. Just work through that because it's all part of the Neptune process with Neptune holding hands with the moon. He's trying to sort of delve into that emotional side as well as showing you the way through and giving a creative slant and sort of saying, you know, things aren't quite as bad as what you think they are. You know, there is a solution. There's always a solution. It may not be the one that we necessarily wanted, but it usually ends up being for our own good. So finally, the moon is conjunct or holding hands, what's known as the part of fortune. Now, when we talk about the part of fortune, we're not talking about the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We're talking about what you are going to feel fortunate about. Now, whether that's money, sorting out an emotional issue, a legal case, getting a new job, buying a car, the kids just got an award at school, it's whatever you sort of feel that makes your heart sing, that makes your heart feel full, as if this is your fortune. Fortune doesn't always need to be money. Now, as I said, it's in Aries, so it's going to feel very me first. It's sort of me orientated. So it doesn't matter what your star sign is, you're going to feel like it's very personal to you, this stellium of planets that will be there for another 36 to 40 hours. So just work with the energy. It could bring some amazing breakthroughs and things could sort of really start to move forward in your life. So work with the energy of the astrology. I like working with astrology and I like to talk about it in the way that I do so that it gives an idea of how our week's going to pan out for each and every one of us without breaking down the 12 signs individually and looking at it that way. We're looking at collectively the snapshot, like the Polaroid picture of where the planets are only minutes before we go to air. So that's why it's, you know, up to the minute. It's very important that we sort of listen to that and use that as our guideline of where we're going forward. We're going to take our first caller, which is Katrina in Minneapolis in Minnesota. In the USA, are you there, Katrina?
Hello.
Hi, Katrina. Do you have a question I can answer for you, sweetie?
Yeah, I just had a question about this guy.
Right. In what way, sweetie?
Joseph. What?
Right. I said, is it a love interest, sweetie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And his name is?
Joseph.
Right. And what did you want to know? Where the situation's going? Is that your question, Katrina?
Yeah, and how he feels and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First thing that I'm picking up is I don't think he's ready for a relationship of any sort of serious nature. And this is why I think he's all over the place. One minute he's sort of very present and very attentive and you feel everything sort of exciting and on track, and then sort of the next minute it's like he's gone ice cold, hasn't he, and sort of no communication or very little communication, and he feels very sort of distant. I think you've got to be aware that he hasn't that long been out of a relationship. Look, it might have been 12 months, but to him it's like yesterday, and he's still going through the processes of sort of sorting through what his emotions were, why the relationship broke up. And then he hits the panic button and says, oh, gee, I don't know whether I'm ready for this again. And then he sort of swings back around and says, oh, Katrina's the greatest person I've ever met and I really like her and I really want to get to know her. And then again that panic sets in and it's like, oh, maybe this is not, you know, what it should be, and I'm not ready. And sort of, I don't know that he's really going to step up to the mark anytime soon, sweetie. He still sort of feels as if he's not ready to allow his heart to sing again, if that makes any sense. So has he opened up to you in any way about his past?
Yeah, but the way that he was, like, acting and stuff, that's why I don't, like, he's not, like, he, that's why I don't really trust that he's not, like, still hurting.
Well, I think, yeah, look, I think you're wise to be cautious, and I'm not sure that necessarily not trusting him is the right choice of words, but I understand that you're not feeling secure, so that's where your mind and your heart's going, and that's fine, because, you know, like he, nothing with him has been consistent, you know, like the energy's all over the place. One minute, as I said, he's very attentive, very loving, and he's in the moment, and then the next minute he's as cold as ice, and it's like, what have I done? What did I say? You haven't done anything wrong. You haven't said anything wrong. You've been very open and honest with him, but I don't know that he's been as open and as honest with you as I would like to see. You know, you've opened your heart up. You've opened yourself up and sort of, you know, said, well, here I am and this is who I am, and he sort of gives you little tidbits every now and then he pulls it back, and then he gives you another little bit, and then he pulls that back. Look, sweetie, if you can be patient and just work with how he is today, tomorrow, next week, or whatever, I think over time a lot of what you're experiencing at the moment will fade away as he becomes more confident in himself, that he is in a good spot, that he can trust his own feelings, that, you know, what he feels for you is genuine and real, and you haven't done anything to make him think otherwise. It's sort of, in a sense, you're paying for someone else's mistakes, I suppose what I'm saying. You know, you've got to be the patient girlfriend. You've got to be the one that's consistently the same, that doesn't falter, doesn't do anything different. But that's a big ask too. You know, like what I'm seeing here could take another 12 months before we get to a position, Katrina, where everything sort of feels really secure and you can sort of really bank on him and bank on the relationship moving forward. I can't tell you what to do. All as I can share with you is the information that's given to me by Spirit, and that's what I've done. And, you know, it's up to you now what decisions that you make, but I don't think you're in a hurry to sort of end this relationship. I think you'll give it a little bit more time. So that's where we're going to leave it, Katrina. I hope that's been of help, sweetie.
It is.
Okay, great. Lovely. We're going to talk with Cheryl now in Atlanta, Georgia. Are you there, Cheryl?
How are you?
Very well, thank you, Cheryl. How can I help you tonight? Do you have a question for me?
You know, I'm just curious, just beginning on my spiritual journey and probably a little bit limited time to put, well, I'm retired, but yeah, not everybody my family are on board with my decision here on taking this path. So I'm just learning how to maybe expand or open up more to understand energy of others. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Cheryl. And it's really interesting, Cheryl. It doesn't matter what stage we are in life, whether we're at, you know, the beginning of our 20s or we're retired, we still don't always have enough time in our lives to achieve everything that we want to do. But the fact that you're coming into opening yourself up spiritually or psychically, whichever label you want to put on it, at this stage of your life, I think is really important, because it says to me you've got the wealth of knowledge of things that have happened previously in your life till you've got to this point. So you've got that sort of wisdom with you. And then you're sort of dealing with, you know, not everybody's agreeable with you maybe going down this path. And usually that's because of fear. It's fear of something they don't understand, they don't know, they don't like it because I don't know it, so I'll just dismiss it and I'll say, oh, maybe you're losing your mind, or why would you do that at this stage of your life? Well, it's technically none of their business. It's your choice of what you want to do with the rest of your life. Now, people quite often ask me, how do I open myself up psychically or to the spiritual energy or whatever? My answer is just go with your gut. Whatever feels right to you, that's the right path for you. It's not about we should all go and learn tarot, or we should all learn astrology, or we should all become Reiki masters or massage therapists or whatever. It's following what feels natural to you. So if you're drawn to something, no matter what it is, whether it seems way out and wacky or what people might consider as, oh dear, I wouldn't go that path, if that feels right to you, then it's right to you from a soul point of view. I don't believe that any of us come into this lifetime without some sort of past life knowledge or wisdom or something that we've done before in another incarnation. And that's why, you know, some of us like football and some like tennis. You know what I mean? It's an automatic thing. It's a knowing. It's a, well, I'm just drawn to that. Well, opening yourself up psychically or spiritually is the same sort of thing. You've got to learn to trust yourself first and foremost. And that's the hard part, because we get all these, what I call clutter. You know, we get lots of thoughts and ideas and everything like that that comes into our mind during the day. 99% of it's probably rubbish and we don't need it, but there's that little nugget here and there that we do need. So when we're starting to open ourselves up psychically, what I used to try and teach people in my classes was, let's work with the energy. You know, in the days when we had a business card, which was much easier now that everybody does everything on their cell phones, but in the days when we had a business card, say you were employing a plumber, the first thing you'd do would be ask for their business card. So if you took their business card, I would get the person to just shut their eyes for a couple of seconds and feel the energy of the card. And, you know, if it felt hot, then you knew that this tradesman was too hot to handle. If it felt cold, be a bit careful because maybe things are going to go on ice. You know, you would go with what you were feeling, and then you'd sort of make a decision on whether or not you'd hire that tradesman. It's a very simple sort of exercise. You could do the same thing if you're going down to buy a used car. Put your hand on the car. What was the energy of the car? I know that sounds silly because it's a metal object, but you would be surprised how many feelings you would get. Oh no, this is not the right one for me, even though I like the blue one. The red one over there's got a better energy. Well, maybe today's not the day to buy a car. So you've got to look at opening yourself up on simple things. You know, what was your first feeling when somebody says to you, would you like to go out to dinner on Friday night? And if your feeling in the first feeling in the pit of your stomach was, oh no, I feel anxious, I don't think that's the right thing for me to do, then you sort of think, well, that's silly, I've got nothing on, I may as well go. But your first feeling was no. And that's what you have to follow. Because for some reason or another, it's not right for you. But if your first feeling was excitement, and that's great, and you're already thinking about what outfit you're going to wear, well, then that was a good positive response. There's all different ways of opening ourselves up, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a study. It's got to be about listening to your first thoughts, your first feelings, and following them. And, you know, initially I would teach you to, if it's something serious, write it down, date it and time it and say how you felt. You know, did you feel excited? Did you not feel excited? And then come back to it. And you'll see how many times that what you first thought was a tick, you know, that you hit the bullseye. And, you know, and if you're feeling uncertain, put that down too, because that also sort of helps you understand this. I actually feel that, look, I never like to say what somebody should do, but I keep seeing numbers around you. Are you drawn to numbers, Cheryl?
Oh, yes. I see them all the time, you know.
Right. And my suggestion
situations
would be to go towards numerology. Get some books and see if that, to me, seems to be your natural way. And a lot of people accept that somebody putting something on a piece of paper with numbers, it's solid, we're familiar with it. They don't look at that as a form of fortune telling or psychic ability. They look at it as, okay, that's where it is. Unfortunately, Cheryl, I've got to leave it there. We've come to the end of the show. So I'm going to quickly say this week we're going to have a really great song back from the 1983s with somebody that I'm sure everybody will be able to sing along to this song. And it's from Bonnie Tyler and it's Total Eclipse of the Heart. You know, it's one of those songs that stays with you forever and ever and ever. Probably her only biggest hit, but it was a great hit back in 1983 around the world with Bonnie Tyler and Total Eclipse of the Heart. So until next week, enjoy Bonnie Tyler. Lovely to talk to you. Bye for now.